Well, good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. We are on program number 80, if I'm correct, and it may not be correct, but at least I'm close. Program number 80, The Goodness of God. Psalms 107:8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Psalm 145, verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness. Talking about the goodness of God in the book of Psalms, it's pretty sad that because of the Great Commission and because of all the things that have been taking place in our churches today and all the false gospel and the teaching of the gospels as law, etc., that you've heard me talk about in the previous 79 programs, it's gotten to the point where in Romans chapter 2, Paul says, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And then to top it all off, in Romans chapter 11, he says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise also shalt be cut off." So we're getting closer and closer to the days where God's going to just cut off the Gentile nation. That's us, folks. This is the dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 3. Your pastor can tell you to skip reading Paul. Don't look to Paul all he wants. But if you look at it, you have an understanding, and you will see what's going on. And we've gone from praising the Lord for His goodness to where people despise the riches of His goodness. And God's going to cut off that Gentile nation soon enough. And you can call it the rapture if you want. You can call it the great taking, the great departure, call it what you want. But what it's going to be, it's when God cuts off the Gentiles and those few Gentiles that are left. Paul tells us in his scriptures that we'll be taken up to meet Him in the clouds together, and thus begins the tribulation, which will then be a different doctrine being taught, the everlasting gospel, patience of the saints, not taking the mark. But chances are the old devil will probably start preaching Paul during the tribulation, trying to get all these people to think that they've got God's grace to live the way they want, and blah, 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 and before they know it, they'll be taking the mark. And we already know that there's a lot of people out there that are wanting to take the mark. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, in an NIV Bible, it tells people that to be a Christian, you have to have that mark of being a Christian. So the Bibles are ready, the people are ready, the pastors are ready, the Antichrist must be getting ready. So the big question is, are you ready? Ready for what? The coming of Christ? No, not at all. The coming of the Antichrist. The better question would be, are you ready for when God takes us away so He can cut off the Gentiles? Because I'm telling you, folks, most people don't want to hear about Paul. They don't want to hear the doctrines that Paul teaches. They don't want to hear about the dispensation of grace. They're told by their pastors to not look to Paul, to actually just skip Paul, just ignore Paul. I've got it in print, and I've heard it with my own aging, deafening ears. It's getting closer and closer. Let's go to the Gospels. Really? Yeah, let's go to the Gospels today. And we're going to look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's some things I want you to not do with the Gospels. I mean, let's read them. Let's make sure we read those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No problem with that. I have no problem with that. We have people out there, pastors out there, and people out there that believe in following Paul, and yet they go just the opposite of what the pastors say today. You know, pastors say, skip Paul, don't look to Paul, don't look at Paul. And these Paul guys, I call them Paul guys, have a real tendency to tell people, listen, don't get caught up in the Gospels. In other words, stay away from the Gospels. No, we can't stay away from the Gospels. Genesis to Revelation, that's the Word of God. That's the Scriptures. Those are the Scriptures. That's the Scripture. Just happens to be that that has to be divided rightly, correctly, so you don't get your dispensations and your doctrines all mixed up. It's really just that simple. So as we look to these Gospels this morning, we have six things here that I want you to not do with the Gospels. What do you think we're going to be able to get done to the program with all six this morning? Those of you that have been with me long enough, you're probably betting that I don't. You're probably right. So let's look at these Gospels. I'll tell you what. The Gospels, let's go to Luke chapter 20, verse 21 here. Luke chapter 20, and I'll be going through pages myself, so that'll kind of slow us down. But maybe that'll give you a chance to find them too. You'll probably even hear my pages rustling. Don't you hate it when the computers and your phones upgrade and then they got things changed? Well, my recording program was upgraded, and it's different now. So I've got to reset all my settings. It's taken me 79 programs to maybe come up with a sound that I like. But now I've got to reset them and redo it. It's just, this stuff is so frustrating. So you'll probably hear my pages flipping and other little noise that are going on here today. So we're going to look here at Luke chapter 20, verse 21. So why do we not ignore or reject the Gospels? Because in verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. I don't want you to reject the Gospels, because they are the way of God. What Jesus taught during the Gospels was the way of God. Now, just to make sure you understand, what Paul teaches, and it talks about in Acts chapter 18, it's the way of God more perfectly. More correctly? No. More perfectly, more finished. There's more to the story. It's like the rest of the story is with Paul. But the Gospels, it is still the way of God during that time. There are fantastic things in the Gospels to read that should help us realize how Christ took out, should say Jesus, because he wasn't the Christ yet. You know, not necessarily the actual, well, he wasn't the risen Christ yet. We'll see that verse in a few minutes here. But we can see how he took care of his people. We can see the miracles he did. We can do the signs that he did so they would believe that he was the Son of God. We can see how he cared for his sheep. Well, now the sheep didn't like being cared for, but he took care of them. And in John chapter 17, when he talks to his father about all those people that his father had given to him, and he had kept them, he had taken care of them, and et cetera, et cetera, you read John chapter 17, and you see the real Lord's Prayer done at the real Last Supper, just before Jesus was arrested. And he talks about how he kept his people. So we know that Jesus has a great testimony for taking care of his people. Now, we're not his sheep, but we're still his, based on his faith, his righteousness. So we still can trust. We learn to trust Jesus as he took care of his sheep, and we can trust him as he'll take care of us. Now, he doesn't need to give us signs, doesn't need to give us miracles, doesn't need to give us wonders. And if he did, we wouldn't believe them anyway, because those things are taking place, but they're just not done by Jesus, according to the Bible, anyway. Okay? So, he has a fabulous testimony that he's developed. And let's look at a couple other quick little things here. Let's just go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Fantastic chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. By the way, in Colossians, it talks about those things were made specifically by Jesus Christ. That's how we did this. Well, it just happens to be that the NIV and all these modern Bibles that all the creationists like to believe in even takes out the fact that Jesus Christ was the one that created everything. Anyway, as a bunny trail. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, we can, that makes sense to us, doesn't it, now, that those things were made by him, and he was the light. And, oh, yeah. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, meaning John was not that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's his people. It's referring specifically to his people. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, what does it mean to believe on his name? We've talked about that. We'll talk about it again. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then a fantastic verse, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, it just happens to be that the modern Bibles take out the word begotten. In different places where he talks about this, Timothy talks about God being manifest in the flesh. It all ties together. Some marvelous stuff in this, some marvelous things there. You get Jesus' birth in the Gospels. We don't get Christmas, we just get Jesus' birth. Christmas is what religion has made out of Jesus' birth. We've got all the miracles that Jesus truly did. Those were not done by the devil. Those were his miracles. Well, they were signs for the Jews. They weren't signs for us. If we learn one thing out of the Gospels, we learn that he was the Son of God. And we have to know that. But see, in their days, that's all that Jesus wanted people to get was the fact that he was the Son of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that was Jesus, and he wanted people to know that. So he did miracles. Who else could do miracles? He did those wonders. He healed people. All those spectacular things that had never been done before. Just so they would believe that he was the Son of God. He fought the devil. There's some great stories in there. There's some great, I hate to use the word stories because it makes it sound like they're, you know, fictitious. Fictitious? Non-true. Yes. And fiction is not true and non-fiction is true. Isn't that just weird? Anyway. So those are true stories that took place. In Luke chapter 4, it talks about him talking to the devil. You know, the devil says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, see, there's that issue again. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, wait a minute. See, these modern Bibles, they take out, but by every word of God. And we actually have people today living a life without reading the Word of God. So they're living without the Word of God when he specifically says to live by the Word of God. I came across this quote yesterday in one of the news apps, I guess they call them today. It was a quote from Buddha, good old Mr. Buddha. It says, be a lamp to yourself. Be your own confidence. Hold on to the truth within yourself as to the only truth. And that's exactly what's going on today. The Word may be a lamp unto thy life, but it's not. Who's a lamp? Be a lamp to yourself. We have people that have tossed out the Word of God. They may have some other Bibles, but I think they've had so many years of all these different Bibles, they don't care what any Bible says anymore. I still am puzzled why a pastor who would stand up in front of his congregation, who hates the King James, corrects the King James, has different Bibles, different people, allows different Bibles in his churches, and yet he goes to a Greek that does not exist. There's many different texts out there, different, all these kind of things that are going on, and yet he stands up there and says, the Bible, the Word of God. Well, where is that, Pastor? Where is the Bible? What Bible are you talking about? No, everybody is following this Buddhistic truth. They're a lamp to themselves. They are their own confidence. And they hold on to the truth within yourself as to the only truth. The only truth that people are following today is what they determine to be the truth in their own little mind, or their own little heart, their own little feet, and their own little only little CD player, whatever it teaches to them. Okay, don't reject the Gospels. Like I say, there's fabulous stuff in the Gospel. He's the Lamb of God. He's the bread of life. That's a part of his testimony that he had, that we listen to when Paul talks about it. Let's look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 7. Very powerful verse here. Let's look at John chapter 7, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, how did he become glorified? What better way to be glorified than to be killed, crucified, and then come back alive again. You think that would have done the job, but it didn't. Let's go to John 6:47. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's very important in those days. But they do take out on me, by the way, in these modern Bibles. So they're being rejected. If you take a modern Bible, NIV, ASV, QSV, MNO, PQR, ST, or a U, or a V, then you're actually rejecting the Gospels. Even though you think you're reading them, you're not reading the true Gospels. John 6:47, he that believeth on me, but they take out on me. So he that believeth hath everlasting life. Believeth in what? That's not true. John 16:16, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me. Now the King James finishes, because I go to the Father. But your Bibles take out, because I go to the Father. Why is that important? Well, some of you may remember the program I did a few programs ago about when Jesus was found by Mary, and she wanted to grab his feet, and he wouldn't let her. And yet when he saw the disciples just a little while later, he let them touch him. Well, he had to go to his Father. He had to pay the price of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9 talks about that. So here it is again, because I go to the Father. Well, see, he has to go to the Father. But see, these modern Bibles take that out. That's very important to know that he went to the Father to pay the blood price. And then he could come back and they could touch him. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you want to be a JW, or follow a JW Bible, they changed that, and the Word was a God. So see, they're rejecting the Gospels. No, don't reject the Gospels. Don't go to a modern Bible. And don't not read the Gospels. Okay, what else? Okay, number 2 point here, don't change them. We've already been talking about some of the changes. Why would you want to take a true history, the way of God, and change it? Well, here, let me show you some more here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, we talked about this in Luke, but let's look at it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's where your Bible stops. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is missing from the modern Bible. So don't change the Gospels. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Or should it say, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him? King James Bible says holy angels. So then this must be the average angel in a modern Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Why do we have to change all these things? Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Well, the modern Bibles take out Jesus. What have we to do with thee? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? How about Mark chapter 10, verse 24? Okay, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Well, they change that. They take out for them that trust in riches. So the Bible to them says, children, how hard is it to enter into the kingdom of God? It's not hard. It may be hard against your flesh, but it's not a difficult process. What are they talking about here? How about Matthew, Mark? Let's go to Mark chapter 2:15. Mark chapter 2:15. You're right. I'm not going to get all six of these in today. Mark chapter 2:15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Well, they changed the word Jesus to him with a small h. What's the point? What's the purpose? Why do they want to take out? Why do they not like that name? Let's go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 again. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, they take that out of there, and they change it to his kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom. his kingdom. We got kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Jesus came with both kingdoms, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. But when they killed Stephen, the kingdom of heaven, the earthly physical kingdom, the church buildings, the temples, all that stuff went away. And this is a spiritual kingdom. Paul teaches the kingdom of God. Could that possibly have something to do with why the pastors don't like Paul? Because Paul preaches a kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, where you don't have to tithe and you don't have to go to some local church that teaches false gospel. Could that possibly have part of the problem here? It's pretty hard to build an earthly kingdom when Paul isn't preaching an earthly kingdom. Not their church is wrong. It's just that they're doing it wrong. They're going to Acts chapter 2 instead of Ephesians chapter 4 for the purpose and the goals and the objectives of a local church. Well, sure, they seek his kingdom. Well, they changed it again. Okay, let's go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy well, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now the modern Bibles take away, take up the cross. Something has to be crucified. The old man has to be crucified in our life. We still know that. But to not take up the cross, to stay away from the crucifixion of our life, to stay away from what Christ did, and even in his day, take up the cross. No, we've got to take up the cross. It's just my comment has been over the years, people, you know, Christians, they know they have to go to the cross. They know they have to trust Christ's crucifixion and Christ's death, but they don't want to get off the cross. They don't want to live that risen life. They want to live that life that Jesus lived before the cross and during the cross. But after the cross, that's the risen life. Pastors keep their people on the cross so they can manipulate them and control them with the gospels. Paul takes you off the cross and gives you a life of joy, confidence, assurance, an understanding. Okay. No, my whole point this morning is, go ahead, read the gospels. Just don't reject them. And don't change them. We're looking at Mark chapter 16, and we're going to go down to verse 9. Oh, by the way, those of you that have a modern Bible, either you don't have from verse 9 to 20, or you have a comment at the bottom that says, many manuscripts, we have learned that they don't include these verses. They don't include these verses from 9 to 20? Do you know how many verses that is? They just suddenly don't have them in Bibles anymore? Why would that be? Well, this is pretty important stuff. But see, this is where they identify the Great Commission. Well, why? What do you care, Paulson? Because you don't teach the Great Commission anyway. I know, but these are the proof verses that prove that the Great Commission is what it is, and we're not to be doing that today. Well, what is the Great Commission? Well, we go to verse 15, and said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Yes, that's the Great Commission. It's been done. It's over with. It's history. It's no longer taking a place. It's no longer in effect. And if they would take these verses 9 all the way down, then there goes the exposing of what the Great Commission really is. So, yeah, don't change the Gospels when you go to them. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 33, just a real quick one here. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Well, these modern Bibles change Joseph to his father. Well, Joseph isn't his father. We know that. You know that. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? I mean, this is what's going on. Well, for those of you that know me by now, of the six things, we only got as far as two of them. Go ahead, read the Gospels. Just don't reject them. Don't ignore them. They're history. It's for the Son of God. It's where God came down and manifest himself in the flesh. That's where he's a Lamb of God. He's the bread of life. That's the way of God in the Gospels to the Jews. And don't change them. Boy, do they attack the deity of Jesus Christ when they change all these Bibles today. What are the other four things? Well, we'll just have to talk about them tomorrow.